Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Ground. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
And welcome into Intentional Grounding. This is episode 24, and we are in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the NFL Combine. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you for a special episode on a busy day here in Indianapolis.
No basement, no studio. It's the Spring Hill Suites in Indianapolis. Yes. Not bad, I have to say. If anybody's stayed in this studio apartment setting, it could be quite appealing,
right.
I think.
And I think Spring Hill Suites should become a sponsor of the podcast because this is the second episode in a row we have done from inside of Spring Hill Suites hotel room. I think that's only fair.
Now we were in Mobile for the last one, yes. And when you think of Mobile, you don't think of plush, luxurious accommodations, and the Spring Hill Suites down there is not that, but it was brand new. It was very nice, in my opinion. It was comfortable. It was quiet. It's everything you need as a reporter for a decent price.
Exactly. Right. And I think WGN and the Chicago Sun-Times have provided Marriott with plenty of dollars throughout the years. And I think it's only fair that they come back and sponsor the podcast.
Let's go for maybe the JW Marriott, which is right around the block. It's where the Bears brass are staying. A lot of NFL types are there. I mean, almost everybody is there. But us. But
reporters.
Hey, same walkways.
Right. Well, until you get to almost the stadium and you have to walk outside in the pouring rain.
That's true.
A block.
Yeah. Pouring snow today.
Pouring snow on the way back. It was ugly today here in Indianapolis. If you're listening in Chicago, though, it's even worse because I hear there's a lot of snow, and at least we're avoiding that for now. Again, it's Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, as always. It's Intentional Grounding, and we are excited to be back. It's been about a month almost since we did our last episode, and there's plenty to talk about today because both Ryan Pace and John Fox spoke here in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Let me get the particulars out of the way. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Check out those timelines. Plenty of information from today from both of us, and you can read our stories at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Both of us have stuff up from today, from here at Lucas Oil Stadium. And if you're not already and you're just listening to the podcast maybe for the first time or just through the website, go ahead to iTunes and search Intentional Grounding. Subscribe there to the podcast. Our producer is Mike Jacobson. All right, Adam, a busy day, plenty to get to. Here's what we're going to do to start things off. Ryan Pace spoke. He doesn't speak a lot. We hear from John Fox all the time. It's been a while since the end of the regular season, but John Fox speaks every day during the season. So, and he doesn't say much.
although today he did.
I thought, there's some stuff, and we will get to it later in the podcast, some of John Fox's comments. But what I want to do to start off is play Ryan Pace's entire conversation with us. It was 13 minutes. I thought there was a lot of good stuff. Alshon Jeffery, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Kyle Long possibly moving to left tackle. Plenty of topics that he discussed as we pelted him with questions. And we're going to play that entire thing right now. Now, if you've already heard this or you don't want to listen to the whole thing, the great thing about a podcast is you could just fast forward. So go ahead, fast forward 13 minutes if you don't want to listen to Ryan Pace. And we will be analyzing everything on the back end of that. But if you haven't heard Ryan, I suggest you listen, and we're going to play it right now. Here is Ryan Pace today at Lucas Oil Stadium at the NFL Combine.
How are you? Good to see you guys. Exciting time of year, man. This is really the next 3 months. We got a great opportunity to significantly improve our team, and looking forward to it. I've said this before, what gives me optimism is the coaches and the scouting staff that we have going forward. So excited about it, happy to be here, and happy to answer any questions.
Can you tell us about Alshon right now and the deadlines that are coming up? Where do you guys stand with him?
You know, we're actively and aggressively negotiating right now. We understand the deadline is Tuesday for the franchise tag. That's an option. You know, we have until Tuesday to make that decision, but right now that's kind of ongoing.
So that option is still on the table. There was a report that you were going to let him walk to free agency potentially.
No, that option is still on the table.
Ryan, in your postseason evaluation of Alshon, what do you sense you can do to help him health-wise to make sure that was
an You know, the thing about it is you know, the previous 2 years he remained healthy. Last year, you know, he had, you know, a series of injuries. And I think, you know, we got a great sports team around him with Jen and Nate and Jason George. And I've said this before, I think being year two with a player helps a lot, just understanding his body and his body mechanics. I know him and his agent are doing some things, too, to improve on that. And when he gets back, we'll have a plan in place.
Is it safe to say if there isn't a deal by the deadline that the franchise tag will be placed on him?
That's an option. You know, we're going to aggressively negotiate. You know, Tuesday we'll have to make that decision. So,
Ryan, what went into the decision on Matt when you made the decision instead of waiting until seeing what the market was?
You know, with Matt, it was, you know, first of all, it's the confidence we have in our younger backs. But also with Matt, it's treating him with respect that he deserves. You know, and I look at it this like, you know, a lot of other great Bear players, Tillman or Briggs. You know, you treat them with respect, and I think that meant handling that with urgency. And once we made a decision, telling Matt as soon as possible.
Brian, are you happy with the depth you have at running back? Do you feel like you need to add to that?
You know, we like our younger backs. We see them as ascending players. You know, I think, you know, Stan Drayton has done a great job with that position group. And part of this, a lot of times, guys, is the confidence we have in player development with our coaches. I mean, that's huge, and that's huge for the health of a franchise, is developing your younger players. And sometimes that involves some tough decisions along the way. But I am happy with those guys. They're ascending young players, and that doesn't mean we can't still add to that group, but right now we feel good about it.
You know, Forte said a lot of times he wanted to be back. Was there ever a thought to bring him back at a reduced salary if he was willing to negotiate on kind of your terms?
You know, we talked about it, and these are thorough, thoughtful discussions, and honestly, you know, emotional sometimes, you know. And really it was just, hey, again, the confidence we have in our younger backs. And then in treating him with respect, we met with him after the season, and I promised him, hey, when we come to a decision, we're going to tell you as soon as possible for you and your agent, and that's how it played out.
Well, what do you think the most with Martellus Bennett? To be talking about how he feels and where he is coming into the season?
You know, Moon, I talked to him right at the end of the season. I haven't talked to him recently. And really with him, it's, you know, he's under contract. We got a lot of players that aren't under contract, so that's where our focus is right now.
And what gave you the most optimism in Jeremy's development?
Just his steady progress, you know, and we still feel he's an ascending player. You know, again, I have a lot of confidence in just his physical ability, his speed, his vision, his acceleration, and I feel he's going to get a lot better going forward.
Ryan, when you look at a guy like Jalen Smith, is there any do you guys have any less of a stomach for an injured player because Kevin White sat his rookie year?
It's a good question. I think when you look at this, first of all, the medical tests at the combine are significant. That's huge. And we have to determine, hey, if this guy's going to be an elite special player, but it means that he's going to miss a little time early on, then as a club, you got to make that decision. You know, I think you saw it last year with Gurley. You know, sometimes those decisions are worth it, you know.
Ryan, do you approach free agency any differently than you did a year ago?
No, we have, Brad, a lot of needs. We have a lot of cap space. And I think we just got to be mindful and strategic with what we do. I feel really good at where we're at right now as far as our preparation. Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, our pro scouts, Brad Obie, David Williams, they've done a great job of setting our UFA board. And now it's just a matter of being smart and calculated with how we approach it, because, you know, this is free agency is risky, and we got to be careful with this. There's going to be certain positions that we're going to be more aggressive at. But I think you just got to be cautious in free agency because it's a risky area.
Now, with so much money available for teams, with you guys have a ton, I think you're third, mm-hmm. more than half the league has more than $20-25 million in cap space. Do you expect this to be different than we've ever seen before, or are agents kind of overblowing?
You know, I think I think there's a little bit of that. I think we look at it internally. Like, part of our challenge is identifying good players, but then identifying good values too. And really, the process for us is we stack our free agent board, we identify the players that we'd like to target, and then we identify salary parameters where we feel they fit in. And we know when the gun goes off and when we're working outside of those parameters, and if it gets a little uncomfortable, that's when you know, you got to make a tough decision.
First 24 hours of free agency, there are no bargains.
Yeah, you got to be selective and cautious with it. Again, we have a lot of needs right now, and our goal, and I think a lot of successful franchises, we've talked about this before, is you're drafting well, and you really don't have to tread in this dangerous water as much as you might have to early on.
Ryan, what has Kevin White been doing? Has he been at the facility, at Alice Hall, out of town training? What's he been up to lately?
You know, he's training on his own. You know, I know he's progressing well, and he'll be full speed for the offseason program. I'm really excited about him, and I know he's got a lot of confidence and just a big smile on his face and ready to show everybody what he can do.
Just to clarify, was there ever an offer to Forte, or was it just a decision to move on?
It was a decision. Yep, decision to move on.
Ryan, going back to Marty for a second, since we talked to you last, you said you were going to go through the evaluation of the roster and everything. When you had more time to think about how he fits and then what you got to know about him, any important conclusions that you're now taking forward?
No, I think, Rich, we recognize that he's a talented, well-rounded tight end. And again, he's under contract, and so right now our focus is on all these guys that are out of contract. That's kind of, you would categorize him in two different areas, and he's in the other area right now.
But as it relates to that position, you got another tight end who's coming out of contract. Do you expect Zach to get to the open market here?
Yeah, I think what happens really at this stage in the game is you just understand the reality that a lot of times these guys have to hit the open market to kind of set their value. So I understand that's the case with a lot of these positions. It's kind of the necessary place that we're in right now. We like Zach. I don't want to go through every one of our UFAs, but he's a guy we'd want back, and we're negotiating with him. But,
Along those lines, one other free agent in that category is Shea.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Shea's future as it is open-ended at this point?
You know, Rich, I don't want to go through every single UFA, but, you know, we like Shea. We feel that his arrow is still pointing up, especially at inside linebacker position. I thought our defensive coaches did a great job with him, and it's a decision we're going to have to make.
Yeah. You talked about playmakers so much back at the January presser. When you are looking for those, what are some of the important components of that you're keeping in mind as you're evaluating the prospects here?
You know, I think you're looking at guys that are making critical game-changing plays at critical moments. You know, when the game's on the line and it's in the fourth quarter, I mean, you look how close all of our games were and all the games around the league, and there are certain players that step up at those moments, and we need more of those type of players.
Does a 3-4 lend itself to finding this type? Is there a different evaluation process or more guys available to you when you look at edge rushers?
You know, I think more and more teams are running 3-4s now, So now that's kind of gotten, you know, those guys are getting plucked over more. You used to be able to pick the undersized defensive ends, and you'd kind of be in a smaller group, and now that seems to be more the norm.
Ryan, just one more thing about Martellus. I know you talked about him to death, but mm-hmm. he didn't show up last year for the offseason program. Are you confident that if he's still on the roster this offseason that he will be there and participating fully like you would hope he would?
And honestly, we haven't even talked about that. You know, I talked to him briefly after the season, but we haven't talked recently, so that we haven't even broached that yet, you know, so you know, we'll see what happens. But right now our focus is on our UFAs.
Right. It seems that interior defensive linemen is a strength of this draft. When you're trying to project these guys to a 3-4 and a 5 technique, what's the challenge in that to pay them the defenses they played in college?
You know, there is some of these defenses in college, they're just shooting gaps. You know, they're not just using their hands and taking on blocks. And so I think sometimes when we're looking at these 3-4 defensive linemen, we're looking at guys that can take on a block with their hands, and they have length to separate and shed, and they're stout. So there are certain D linemen that you look at and you say, you know what, man, this guy's ideally kind of a 4-3-3 technique. But on the other hand, this guy's more of a 5 technique that has length and he's stout. So you just got to sort through that.
Ryan, we haven't talked to you since the staff changes. What went into Groh's decision to go, and how do you and Fox kind of break down who you hire to bring in?
Yeah, you know, John and I are close enough for every decision we're bouncing off each other, but ultimately the coaching staff, that's on him, you know, and so just like as when we hire scouts, I bounce guys off him as well. But with Mike, it was a clear promotion for him, and those are kind of case-by-case basis. And, you know, we've hired Curtis Johnson. There's our new receiver coach who we all have background with, and we're excited about him.
How much did you look outside for an offensive coordinator? How much did you take into consideration?
Yeah, we talked about it, you know, and went through different scenarios. And the one thing with Dal is I don't want to, you know, Dal's a really good coach. He's really intelligent. He's got a lot of new ideas. He's very confident. So it wasn't just about keeping continuity. It was also about hiring the best guy. And we feel Dal is definitely that. I'm excited for some of the new wrinkles and some of the new ideas he has. One thing I like about Dal is, you know, he came into the league as a scout. So I'm kind of biased towards that a little bit. He understands personnel. He understands player development and how guys fit into different roles. And so we're excited about Dal.
Was Jay's relationship crucial to that decision as well?
That was part of it because, you know, we feel Jay played well last year. We feel he's going to play even better next year. And having Dal in place kind of continues that progression.
With Bushrod's
strengths.
Dal's strengths?
Yeah.
It's seeing the bigger picture, Dan. It's seeing, I think, again, coming in kind of with that broad background as a scout, I think he sees how it all fits together. And, you know, hey, when we sign or draft a player and we are able to describe these are his skill sets, he can say, okay, well, this is the role I can put him in and this is how I can maximize those skill sets.
With Joey Lane approaching free agency for the first time as the main negotiator, how do you feel like he's grown in the role since he came to Chicago? What skills sort of signify that he's going to be successful?
You know, Joey and I have a long history together. And in New Orleans, you know, he was doing a lot of those negotiations as well. So they did a good job there with kind of splitting up the guys and giving him a handful of players. So the way Joey and I communicate daily, you know, we're kind of on the same page. So I have a lot of confidence in us working together and just the relationship we have. And when I talk about a player or describe a player, we've been around each other so long, we can pretty quickly come to a value together on what that player is in the market.
What stands out to you about his mind and that he kind of understands these types of issues?
You know, Joey also came in as a scouting intern and kind of came up with us, so he understands like kind of how we think when we talk about players. So he's not just, you know, he's not just all numbers. He gets kind of the whole thing.
With Bushrod gone now, are you pretty committed to going forward with Leno at left tackle, or could Kyle Long potentially be on the move again?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing about Kyle that we all love is his position flexibility. But I'm confident in Leno. You know, I thought he got better as the season went on. And I do think that Leno is a natural left tackle. That's his best spot. He's a natural left tackle. But Kyle has some position flexibility. I think with our offensive line, when I look at that, is, you know, we got some flexibility with some guys there. Our goal is to improve that position, but just acquire the best players and then let it all sort out and start the best five.
Back to Alshon for a second. When you have your negotiations with him, what's the sense you get that he wants to be here? There were some rumblings throughout the season last year that he might want to leave Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I heard that. I sense he wants to be here. We're the team that drafted him. He loves the city of Chicago. He's comfortable in the offense. And I sense that he wants to be here.
Ryan, to have 9 picks heading into this draft, how do you describe the value of the flexibility that offers you as a GM?
It's awesome. You know, last year we only had 6, so now we have some flexibility to move around within the draft, not just, you know, acquire more players, but possibly move up or move back. And it just gives us more flexibility in the draft, and that's exciting.
What does that do for you on draft weekend in terms of just giving you the freedom, I guess, to go after what you want?
Yeah, you have ammunition now. So it gives you can be more aggressive with moving up and down in the draft.
How do you balance Kyle's versatility with not wanting him to have to learn a third position in 4 years?
Yeah, that's part of it, and we talk about it. And I think the main thing with Kyle is once we need to make this decision after the player acquisition period is over with, and try as best as we can try to leave him at a certain spot. I think it's easy for him to go back to guard. You know, it would be harder if we put him at guard and then put him back out at tackle, you know. So we just got to go through this player acquisition period and see how the chips fall and then put him in a spot and let him grow there.
And any preliminary thoughts on the quarterback class coming through the draft here?
It's a good class. I mean, I don't want to get into the specifics, but there's a handful of guys that are up near the top. There are sort of a handful of quarterbacks in the middle part of the draft that, you know, I feel good about and that we got to make sure we've accurately graded, and that's where our scouts really earn their money. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Adam, so a lot of good stuff in there from Ryan Pace today, and we got to start right away with the big news of the day, which was the update on Alshon Jeffrey's situation as the franchise tag deadline looms on Tuesday. Ryan Pace coming out today and saying that they are actively and aggressively negotiating right now with Alshon Jeffrey and Eugene Parker, his agent, trying to get a long-term deal done before Tuesday. And reading between the lines, while he didn't commit to definitely using that franchise tag on Tuesday, if it gets to that point, it certainly sounds like it will be used if there's not a deal that gets done.
Oh, yeah, he committed without going on record and committing. I think it's all but a certainty at this point that the franchise tag is probably the best option for Jeffrey. Look, the negotiations are going. I know they're active and aggressive, as Pace described them, but it's that franchise tag, when it's placed on a player, that really spurs negotiations. And Eugene Parker, this isn't his first rodeo. This is a guy who's trying to get max dollar for his player from this team. Yes, the Bears can't let him leave, but that $14.5 million franchise tag for receivers is where that's the floor for Jeffrey in Parker's eyes. It just has to be. It's in line with all the other top receivers, the ones who've gotten paid recently, your Demaryius Thomases, your T.Y. Hiltons, your Dez Bryants, your Julio Jones, your A.J. Greens. It's all in that vicinity. And that's a good starting point, and really almost a fair starting point, to start really negotiating where you want to be with the Alshon Jeffrey contract-wise.
So that would put him second to only A.J. Green in terms of how much money he's getting per year.
Yeah, he's at $15 million, A.J. Green.
Yeah, so if you're starting at 14.5, that puts him ahead of Julio Jones, ahead of Demaryius Thomas, ahead of Dez Bryant. I don't know if his production is right there. You've looked at the numbers. I've looked at the numbers. To me, his production, if you compare where Jeffrey is right now compared to where those guys were when they got their deals, it's not quite there. He's averaging less receptions per year, less receiving yards per year. All those guys averaged over 1,000 yards receiving yards per season before they got their big deals. And Jeffrey's at 932 per year. So, I mean, there's different ways to break this down and look at it. To me, you'd be overpaying a little bit at that number. But if it's just for this year on the franchise tag, I think that's worth it to be able to see him play next to Kevin White. If we're talking long-term contract and you're giving him $14.5 million a year and how you know it ultimately comes down to the guaranteed money, I would feel a little nervous about that, considering not just his lack of availability last season, but also this perception, and I think is relatively fair, that he could have played through some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Is he 100% guy? I get the argument. Let me ask you this. Is he better than T.Y. Hilton, in your opinion?
I like him more than T.Y. Hilton.
He's bigger,
and the Colts,
stronger, can do more.
Yeah, the Colts sprung. They went early. He'd only played 46 games when he got his contract.
Yeah.
And they got him at $13 million a year, so for a little bit less. But even T.Y. Hilton's put up better numbers per season than Alshon Jeffery.
How about on a per-game basis, though? I went... Because if you're going to take into account his availability, some of these guys, Hilton, Bryant, Green, they've dealt with injuries. It's not like Alshon Jeffery's the only receiver dealing with injuries that are hurting his production.
Right.
I mean, let's not forget that Alshon Jeffery also played every single game the previous two seasons before last year. But on a per-game basis, counting this season and the past two, his numbers are right in line with A.J. Green. They are better than T.Y. Hilton. He's got more yards per game than Dez Bryant. I mean, Julio Jones on a per-game basis over the past 3 years is exceptional. What he did this last season is crazy. I mean, he's averaging over 112 yards per game over the past 3 years. So, but compared to the other guys, I mean, Eugene Parker is going to put these numbers in front of Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace, I'm sure, knows what these numbers are. I mean, there's an argument to be made that Alshon Jeffery should be paid like a top-tier receiver.
Yeah, well, he's certainly going to be up there, and whatever Pace brings up in terms of trying to slot him in a lower amount of money, Parker can come back and say, hey, look at last season. The Bears averaged 54.5 more yards per game when Jeffrey was out there, and 5.7 more points per game. That's almost a full touchdown.
I mean, the Bears can't hide the fact that, I mean,
they had a different offense when Jeffrey was out there.
Completely different.
That's a full touchdown.
Yeah.
That alone right there is worth a few million dollars.
Yeah,
But at the same time, as Ryan Pace and John Fox like to say a lot, ultimately it comes down to winning and losing. And guess what? The Bears won just as many games with Jeffrey as they did without him.
Yeah.
So while those numbers and points and yards kind of side on Jeffrey, they didn't necessarily win any more games with him in the lineup as they did without him, which is interesting.
It's still the price of the position, though. You know, like everybody complained about Jay Cutler's big contract, but that's what the comparables are. I mean, that's what the position is paid. And if, look, I really think, you know, here's a different argument on Jeffrey. I think some people just don't like the guy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Some fans, some media.
Well, I think a lot of it is because of what I brought up earlier. Yeah. That it seemed like he could have played through some of that stuff.
Right.
And I don't know how fair that is. And also, a side that I definitely don't think is fair is he's a quiet guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say a whole lot. And when he does talk, it doesn't always come out the way I think fans want to hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that automatically, I think, has a lot of people look at him in a negative light, which that part to me is not fair.
Yeah.
I think questioning his willingness to play through injury last season is completely fair, though.
Yeah.
But as you pointed out multiple times, and I think Ryan Pace said this today too, he played in all 16 games the two seasons before that.
Yeah.
So it's not like he has a chronic problem throughout his career of not being available.
Right. And you know what? The NFL world and the Bears did a good job, Jeffrey in particular, of, I don't know if covering up's the right way to put it, but he didn't really elaborate on his situation. I mean, there was supposed to be a minor calf strain, and that minor calf strain kept Jeffrey out of the entire preseason and stuff like that. I think there were some perceived criticisms of Jeffrey from some of his teammates in the media when people were starting to talk about this new training regimen that John Fox has, you know, to kind of get away from these soft tissue issues. So, I mean, that was a question about Jeffrey when he was coming out of the draft, his work ethic and stuff, and he did work with Brandon Marshall a lot. Brandon Marshall is gone. But you know what? I think one positive sign is that he's with Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer and his mixed martial arts academy. You know, Kyle Long works out there. A lot of NFL players work out there. John Fox is very close to Jay Glazer. Yep. He's gotten positive feedback from the types there, Jay Glazer's gym and from Jeffrey. So there's reasons to be optimistic about Jeffrey's situation and the Bears figuring out him injury-wise. But, yeah, again, just to conclude this point on Jeffrey, it's just there's no way they can let him go. He, like you said, he's too valuable. He slants the field. He is just too good of a receiver at this point in his career to pass up and to at least have some type of solution for the 2016 season.
All right, so look, the bottom line there is it's Wednesday right now. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, is the deadline on the tag. Either he's going to get a deal before then, or he's going to get tagged. Either way, he's going to be with the Bears, barring some crazy scenario where they use the non-exclusive tag and a team.
Or if Jeffrey just walks in there and says, I don't want to be part of you guys, then you really got to, you know, maybe you try to trade him then, but
right. Well, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, Pace said it today. He senses that Jeffrey wants to be here.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to Martellus Bennett. What did you think of what Ryan Pace and John Fox had to say about him today, which wasn't a whole lot?
Well, they had the company line ready.
Oh, yeah. He's under contract.
He's under contract. We have other free agents to worry about first.
It brought back flashbacks to last year with the way they talked about Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall, which created a couple months of pretty crazy speculation about their futures. And I think ultimately we both decided Cutler's probably not going anywhere, but Brandon is probably definitely gone.
Yeah, yeah. And he ended up being gone. Yeah. Well, they needed Cutler more than they needed, I guess, Marshall at the rebuilding stage there. But you're right. That's a good comparison. I didn't really think about that at that moment. But looking back at it now, yeah, I mean, they had opportunities to give some support
right
to Martellus Bennett. And the best they could muster was he's a well-rounded tight end, an athletic, talented, well-rounded tight end. Yeah. That's what Pace said. Look, I think he's out the door. You know,
I tend to think that way too.
I don't see it's like Marshall's situation. I don't see they have to figure out if everything that he does off the field and the distraction he can become, his actions, his words are worth getting in the way of the culture they're building. I don't know if he fits into that. At one point, it looked like he could work out last year.
Yeah.
After he decided to hold out for a little bit in the offseason program, but then, you know, once things started to, the team started to lose, and I mean, he had all their interests.
I think there's a couple differences here. I don't think the situation is as dire as it was with Brandon Marshall. I think when they came in last year and they did their homework and they talked to his teammates and really got a pulse on the locker room, they realized that Brandon needed to be removed from that situation. I don't get the sense that Martellus is as big of an issue in that locker room. Now, there have been blow-ups. There have been moments where he hasn't handled himself completely the right way.
There's been magazine articles where he's questioning the quarterback.
Right. But I also don't think he's walking in there every day. Now, we see guys roll their eyes at him and some of his jokes and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is a full locker room cancer, per se. To the point that Brandon Marshall was, where it was obvious he needed to go. However, I do think that this regime maybe thinks of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where maybe Fox and Pace want to get him out of there more than his teammates necessarily do.
I mean, the potential is there for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, say you commit to him, and then all of a sudden he doesn't show up for the off-season program again.
Right, that's what I mean. You don't want that to happen.
You know, you might as well, you know, get in front of the, you know, beat him to it. You know, like, get in front of what could be a troubling situation. You don't want that. I mean, things could be going great for the Bears next year, then all of a sudden a situation occurs with Martellus Bennett. Look, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing on the guy. I think he could be great with the media. He's forthright. He's funny. He's honest. He's candid. I could throw a lot of positive adjectives his way, but he tends to do distracting things and say distracting things, and teams don't like distracting things.
Yeah. And one thing that Fox said, he said the situation's fluid. I think that's fair. I think they're probably leaning towards trying to get rid of him, but I don't, you know, if they can't re-sign Zach Miller, then you don't know how the tight end market's going to play out. I'm sure they'll go after guys, but you don't necessarily know who you're going to end up with. And there is a scenario where they're kind of forced to keep Martellus.
Yeah.
Because they just need him. He's a good player, and they might need him on this offense.
But how would you define that need, though? That would be the question. The Bears aren't winning the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
This is a long-term thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, do they need him for 1 year? I know the answer could be yes. The Bears signed Antrel Roll in Eddie Royal, veterans in their 30s, you know, or Royal soon to be, you know, for short-term solutions. Bennett, with 1 year under contract, could be viewed as such if you're willing to put up with, again, some of the things we were talking about. But this is all about, you know, long-term visions for the Bears and how he fits in. And if you're going to part with him, might as well do it sooner than later and not have to deal with what could transpire if you keep him next year, win or lose. How he affects the win and losing column.
No, I think that's a fair point. And ultimately, I tend to think he's not going to be part of the team next year. But I do have the window cracked just a little bit. Whereas I was pretty sure Brandon Marshall was gone last year at this point. So it'll be interesting to watch. And I also think the trade market might be a little bit more viable than it was for Brandon a year ago. And maybe you could add another draft pick. They already have 9. Can you add a fourth rounder, a third rounder?
You know, I talked to Daniel Jeremiah. Because don't forget last year we had the same type of trade rumblings, and does Martellus Bennett belong here at the same time kind of last year? Not as major as Brandon Marshall.
Right.
But around the draft, there was a lot of speculation that he could be on the market, Martellus Bennett. So Daniel Jeremiah, the respected former scout, has a lot of, you know, work for the NFL Network now on TV in his draft analysis, said, you know, there's questions about his work ethic, his character. I think at most you could probably fetch a fifth or sixth round pick.
Wow.
That was last year.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a down year where he broke a rib and the Bears put him on injured reserve instead of, you know, having him try to tough it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little bit lower than I would have thought, but it'll be interesting to watch what happens with Martellus Bennett here. All right. Before we get to our next topic, I have some good news. What Does the Fox Say is back. And we might have our best one ever.
Best one ever.
From today.
Play it.
Here we go. What Does the Fox Say?
What Does the Fox Say?
You know, a lot of times it's hard to measure, you know, what's behind that left nipple.
What the fox say?
That is an interesting way to say heart.
What the fox say?
Yeah. Kadeem Carey's heart.
Yes,
that's what he was talking about.
Boy, he had some high praise for Kadeem Carey today.
He watched his highlights for fun.
Yeah. So he loves the way he carries his pads and runs after contact, which I think is fair. I mean, the guy, I wrote on Monday in my notes, my notebook, this week's notebook, that he runs like a bowling ball.
Okay. He turned on it. Kadeem Carey's highlight clips. There were several last year, not many, and watched it for fun. That says all you need to know about how John Fox views Kadeem Carey.
He likes him.
Likes him a lot.
Jeremy Langford.
He called Jeremy Langford a complete back as a rookie.
Yeah.
Probably has to improve that pass protection.
He does all three key things okay. He needs to do them all better.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't one that you say he can't do. He can catch the ball. He had some drops, but he showed he can catch the ball and be dynamic. And
Matt Forte had drops last year.
Yeah. He can run the ball, obviously, and he can pass protect. He needs to get better at it, but he can do it.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually the typical thing that rookies struggle against, identifying your pass protections, you know, whether it's blitzes or different guys coming off the edge and, you know, stunts and whatnot.
Yeah. And by the way, if you listen to the Ryan Pace that we played, you heard him confirm that they did not offer Matt Forte any kind of contract.
No.
So which I think we knew, but it was good to get that confirmation that there wasn't even an offer down on the table. And
what's going on over there?
Well, I got it plugged in the computer, and I think I just got an email. You want to read it?
Is it a good one?
I don't know. It's
work? Spam?
No, it's just
combine parties.
It's spam from Mike Jacobson, our producer.
Mike, we're recording
like usual. Yeah, so stop. Yeah, stop bothering us.
When are you guys done?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mike's a little under the weather, and he's staying late today to get this done. So we love him very much. All right, so let's keep moving here. Kyle Long was another topic today.
With Charles Leno. Let's pair them together. Let's put them in the same topic.
Well, and this is the argument I've been making all offseason so far, and why I don't think Kyle Long it will move to left tackle, at least not this year. Mm-hmm. It may happen eventually, but this year, that is Charles Leno's job to lose. And I've been saying that, and it was good to get that confirmation from Ryan Pace today because he didn't exactly say those words, it's his job to lose, but that's basically what he said. He said, I'm confident in Leno. I thought he got better as the season went on. And I do think that Leno was a natural left tackle. Now, when he says that, it means he can't play right tackle.
Yeah,
that's what that means. And so if you're going to move Kyle to the left side, who's playing right tackle? Because it's not Leno. So why weaken your entire offensive line by doing that? Especially when Kyle didn't prove that he could definitely play right tackle in the NFL last year.
I didn't think he was that bad, right? Yeah, I mean,
I didn't think he was bad either. Yeah. He had good moments, bad moments. But wouldn't you agree he was not as good of a right tackle as he was a right guard?
Well, that's what happens when you give the guy a job with a week to learn it.
I agree.
You know, and cut his best friend on the team. It's not exactly going to go swimmingly. Kind of an unfair position to be in. Look, he used the word versatility, and I think Pace left the door open a little bit. I mean, there's a scenario that exists. Say they draft, you know, one of these highly regarded right tackles. The kid from Michigan State, the kid from Ohio State, or they spend some money in free agency. There's a scenario where Kyle Long could be moved back to right guard where he is a force to be reckoned with. You know, you get him off the ball that quickly.
All right, that's interesting because you're now the second person today that has suggested that to me. And no one's really discussing that much, that he can move back to guard.
Yeah, well, I get, what was it, in December, late December, where he said, I'm going to be a tackle moving forward. He's already doing some type of work out there
in
Arizona.
And didn't John Fox say at the end of the year that he envisioned that Kyle Long was to be a tackle?
Yeah, yeah. But then they had their evaluation process. I mean,
true.
You know, they went through the tapes. The coaches offered their remarks and their evaluations. Dave Magazu, a well-respected offensive line coach. So as Fox said today, things are always fluid in this with teams, so you know, maybe they envision that their best offensive line is maybe adding a tackle through this player acquisition period, as Pace called it. You got free agency, then you got the draft. Finding a day one maybe draft pick there to start, or, you know, an experienced right tackle, moving Kyle Long back inside.
Let me give you an interesting late round name. I talked to him today, and I had him in my first mock draft. Tyler Johnstone, who played with Kyle Long and Hronus Grisu at Oregon.
Wasn't he supposed to be
he was
really
supposed
good.
To be better than Kyle Long.
Yeah.
When Kyle Long was there, they were platooning at left tackle and the left guard got hurt. And instead of moving Tyler Johnstone to guard, they moved Kyle Long. That's how highly they thought about Johnstone.
Yeah.
So,
I kind of remember Long praising this kid in an interview, thinking he'd be the next coming of Joe Thomas.
Well, what happened was he tore his ACL twice.
Oh.
And he missed all of 2014, came back this year, 2015, and was just not right. So even his tape this year is not good. And at this point, what I would characterize him as is a guy who was headed to be a first rounder, who is now probably going to be taken late in the draft. And there's probably going to be a team that I think looks at that potential and takes a chance on him, maybe a little bit earlier than you know, maybe like the fifth round.
Take a look. You got nine picks?
I think I had him in the sixth round in the Bears mock last month. But the point is, that's just a name I'm throwing out there. There's a connection. He told me today he still talks to Kyle, still talks to Hronis, loves playing with those guys, actually tries to model his game after Kyle Long in his tenacity and you know, his attitude the football field.
Good model for all those.
Yeah. So that's just an interesting name to keep in mind as we're here at the Combine. By the way, I'm on a squeaky chair. I don't know if you can hear that.
I'm sitting on this luxurious
Spring Hill Suite.
Couch.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But
it's WD-40 up here.
Yeah, WD-40. Maybe they could be a sponsor of the program, too. I don't
know. Adam's got a lot of needs, Spring Hill Suites, just like the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. I'm gonna get some Marriott points for the squeaky chair.
Hey, let's get to my guy.
Yeah, your guy, Shea?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, if there was one thing that I would say...
Arrow pointing up,
yeah, I would
Adam
say,
Hogue.
I would say that I would be concerned about this part of what happened today.
Why? Why is it so hard to wrap your mind around that the Bears... Look, you may not agree with them, but Vic Fangio, the guy has coached Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame linebackers. Look, I'm not saying pay the guy 3 years, $5 million, you know, $5 million each season. I'm saying you give him a one-year deal, very cheap. I mean, there's not going to be much of a market for him.
Right, and I've said if that's what it is, and it's you know, closer vet minimum deal in that area for 1 year, that's fine. Bring him back. Yeah. Get him in the mix, but don't guarantee him a job.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Pace didn't say that. I mean, no. he said they'd like him. His arrow's pointing up, especially the inside linebacker. It's a decision they have to make, you know.
But, Adam, we're in year five now. Year five of the Bears front office.
But it's not year five of him playing inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense.
That's fair. But you can understand the...
This guy wasted 2 years of his life playing defensive end in Lovie Smith's defense, and it was just...
But he wasn't that good last year. He was okay.
He was good early.
He was good early, yeah, got hurt.
Concussion.
Was quite frankly horrible at the end of the year, though.
I mean, at the end of the season, your every down inside linebacker is John Timu, an undrafted guy, who looked impressive, particularly against the Vikings late. Well, it's a position they got to address. Free agency and the draft.
I'm so sick of hearing about how this guy's arrow is pointed up.
That's a new quote, though. I haven't heard.
Okay, it's the same thing as he's got upside. He's ascending.
Well, ascending's probably my least favorite.
This guy,
football word.
We have 4 years of tape at three different positions. There is an obvious ceiling on Shea McClellan.
And the Bears seem intent on finding it.
he may have hit that already. Is the point?
I think he did enough to earn a 1 year flyer on him. I don't see the harm in that. I mean, you bring him back, put him in camp, let him compete. If he doesn't make the team, he doesn't make the team.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. But it's just like hearing another general manager, and I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of the fan base here. They are tired of hearing the general manager.
Well, he didn't rip off a bunch of stats about disruptions and stuff.
That's,
you know,
true. At least he didn't do that.
It was a very succinct, concise quote.
You
know? Look, you know, Vic Fangio's got the kids back, and Vic Fangio is a strong voice defensively in their evaluations, and, you know, I don't see the harm in bringing back a guy you had call your defense for most of last season.
All right, before we get out of here, I want to get to some good stuff from Adam Gase today, which we got a chance to talk to him right before we rushed back here to the luxurious Spring Hill Suites to do the podcast.
You say that like it's a slight. It's not a bad room at all.
No, it's fine. I like this hotel. I've stayed here before.
Yeah.
This is my Combine hotel.
It is. Yeah, I like the space. But continue. Adam Gase, go on.
we talked to Adam Gase today, and I found his comments on Dow Loggins and Jay Cutler to be very interesting, and if you're a Bears fan, I think pretty encouraging, right? I have it right here. We're going to play it for you. This was first Adam Gase responding to a question about their relationship at Dow Loggins and Jay Cutler's relationship.
It's a great dynamic. I know that. I always loved going around those two guys and kind of seeing the banter in between them. But when they hit the field and there's something special there between those two guys, and the way they work together and the way they communicate, it's a great situation for Jay. That offense is in great hands. I mean, that whole coaching staff is top notch. I enjoyed working with all those guys, but those two guys together, they'll be able to keep that, you know, that system going. They'll be able to keep that continuity going.
So great dynamic. Something special going on there when they're on the field. And then I asked him, we had a chance to catch up with him on the side. That was from his press conference. Then we caught up to him on the side, and I also asked him when Adam Gase left Chicago, what was it about Dow Loggins that had him so confident that it would be a seamless transition with Loggins taking over as the OC?
Well, it's because Dow's already done this whole coordinator thing in Tennessee. His relationship with Jay is off the charts. And then me and Dow were side by side in the whole process of game planning. He was the guy that, you know, if we got in a tight spot in a game and I wasn't sure about something, he was the guy I could always talk to make sure, all right, hey, he's with me on this. I feel good about it. You know, let's go with this. So Dow's very smart. He's a very hard worker, and he has a great relationship with the players. And the thing about Dow, I always looked at, I mean, he's an alpha. I mean, he is not afraid to butt somebody up. I mean, he will tell guys exactly what he thinks.
Last question for Adam here.
Sorry, I didn't cut that part out. Bad editing on my part.
It's been a long combat.
I should have left the follow-up question in there.
Was it about Jim Bob Cooter again?
No, the Dolphins reporter was upset that all these other reporters from Detroit and Chicago were hawking.
Well, there was a ton of questions about...
He goes, well, let me ask you a question about the team you actually coach for now. And Zach Zaman looked at me and we rolled our eyes.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
I'm sure Zach is notorious for whispering funny remarks during press conferences.
Yes. And
not that time.
And sending texts during press conferences that make you laugh.
That is also true. Anyway, that's a side note to Adam Gase's comment calling Dow Loggins an alpha. Yes. And that, look, Dow Loggins, John
we
Fox.
We don't know him. We don't get to talk to them.
Do you remember when John Fox kind of said, you know, he handles the short jokes?
Yeah.
Really well. That's what kind of came back to me when Adam Gase called him an alpha, because, I mean, Jared Allen used to throw that word alpha male, or, you know, word descriptions around a lot. And this is a guy who's like, what, 6'6", 245 pounds. I mean, Dow Loggins is what, 5'3", 5'4"?
Okay, I don't know if he's that short. Is he really? He's, I mean...
5'5"? Nice.
Okay, he played quarterback at Arkansas, right? So there's got to be... Let me see if I can look up his height. This is very important, by the way. Dow Loggins' height. It's totally going to determine.
I mean, can't you just envision Cutler kind of just giving him the business a little bit about the height? A lot of height jokes. So obviously, if Fox is mentioning them, they're kind of widespread at Alice Hall. Again, we're getting away from the main topic.
No, but that stuff matters.
Bright future with Dow Loggins coming up, but
he's listed at 5'5".
5'5".
And he played quarterback.
Cutler's what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Like, what is Doug Flutie?
Flutie was like 5'6 or 5'7".
I mean, so he's shorter than Doug Flutie. That just puts it in perspective. Again, this really matters. Doug Flutie's listed at 5'10".
No. In cleats?
I don't know. According to Wikipedia, which means it's definitely true.
Yeah, definitely. I did like hearing that. I mean, and if Bears fans have to agree on that point, you know, this is a guy, forget about his size. I know we're having fun here in the Spring Hill Suites, but this guy's not going to take, he's going to let Cutler have the business if need be. You need that type of dynamic. He already has a good working relationship with the guy, but he's not going to be afraid to light a fire under some players that need it. And maybe that's Martellus Bennett, maybe not. Maybe some of these other young guys need it as well. But that's a good sign. I mean, Adam Gase, for as personable as he is, also had that quality, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think although we don't get to see too much of the assistants' interactions and get to know them too much under this job.
I'm interested to see all these short jokes they're throwing around.
Well, you can see, at least in the small amount of practice we got to watch, that there was... Like, every once in a while, there were times you could see they were joking around and having a good time.
Yeah.
And that Dow Loggins and Jay Cutler got along. Yeah. At least I always got that feeling that there was a good relationship there. And I think that everything we've heard and seen and the fact that they promoted logins as quickly as they did, it reinforces all of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What else or anything else? I mean,
free agency. Bears will spend wisely. That's what I got it. What did Fox say? They're not going to go crazy or something like that. But that's
they got a ton of money.
That's the next podcast.
Yeah, free agency. Talk. We'll probably bring a couple, at least a couple from free agency. Evaluate who they end up going after, and I don't expect them to. I mean, they'll probably find one guy, kind of like Pernell McPhee last year, that they feel is still ascending, and maybe overpay for that a little bit.
But you always overpay in the first few days of free agency. I mean, one thing everybody should be aware of: there's an estimated $1 billion in free agency available dollars. Buying them from all these teams. That is one astronomical and unprecedented in this football world. So players are about to get paid.
I think they should give us some of that.
It's either that or the Spring Hill Suites sponsorship.
Something. Come on. $1 billion. It's insane. The NFL just keeps getting more and more money. And then there was that story that they withheld some from the players. It's unbelievable.
No comment.
the NFL. All right, I think that's it for us. Plenty of stuff today. Again, WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. We both have stories up on there. Our Facebook pages. Facebook.com/, you should promote that. You just set yours up.
I got to do a different
URL.
I got to. Okay. Maybe I'll ask for your advice on that. I did it wrong, and Facebook said, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Okay, well,
next podcast.
Mine is facebook.com/Adam Hoge. You go straight to the page there. You can like it, follow all the content.
Mine is facebook.com/a bunch of numbers.
A bunch of numbers. Yeah, you got to fix that. I think I can show you how to do that. We'll have that all worked out by the next podcast, which will be in a couple weeks during free agency for sure. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, at J-A-H-N-S. And the website's WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And we thank our producer, Mike Jacobson, who is sick. He's sad. He needs to go
and emailing us.
And emailing us during the podcast. And we love him very much. We hope that he gets this up very quickly so that everyone can listen to it. And then he can go home and sleep and get better. By the way, Bob Kravitz, speaking of people who are sick, was coughing all over me today. He sounded like death, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be sick tomorrow because the way they pack us in here at the NFL Combine, you're basically on top
of
it.
It's like a hot house in there.
It is awful. I'm sorry.
And I don't know if some of us reporters dress well. You and I, collared shirts, nice sweaters, dress shoes. Some of these dudes, our colleagues, just flat out stink, man. It's bad.
It's a
bad
problem.
You know.
They should set up showers at most of these NFL events, I think, that people need to use. All right, for Adam Johns, I'm Adam Hoge. Thanks for listening to Intentional Grounding. We will be back in a couple of weeks. We promise free agency is fast approaching. Then the owners' meetings and then the NFL draft. You're going to hear a lot from us as Intentional Grounding rolls into its second season. We appreciate you listening as always, and we will talk to you next time.